So we have our Lord Jesus Christ offering Himself on Calvary and shedding His precious blood. And when He did that, this is what took place. You read that in Matthew 27, please. Matthew 27. Here is a physical mark, in the natural world and in the religious world that God was doing something. We know what was going on up in heaven. Jesus' offering was being accepted by God. A propitiation for our sins. He offered Himself to God, an acceptable sacrifice. How can God let people know? The moment Jesus died, He went down to the temple there. It was going to vanish away, and from the top of the curtain, He ripped it from top to bottom. Of course, the Jewish people sewed it up again until AD 70. But then God sent along His agents, the Roman soldiers, as prophesied, and laid it to the ground. You will not build this again. Of course, we know it will be permitted by God in the Great Tribulation period. True? Yes, we're keeping our eye on that. That's another subject. Let's read Matthew 27, please. 27, 50 and 51. If you can get excited about anything, get excited about this. What a momentous event this is. It's interesting, the physical signs that happened when Jesus rose from the dead. There was an earthquake. Graves were open. Many other things. Look at this one. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. So He went in there and ripped that curtain. Yes, obsolete, vanishing away. Approach to God now is immediately to Mount Calvary, not a place, but the Savior on Mount Calvary who has offered up the offering. And then in the day of ascension, our Lord Jesus Christ will go into His presence, some believe with His blood, others by His very own presence, completing the type and sitting down at God's right hand. So what do we have here? We have the great cry in the other Gospels, the Gospel of John, it is finished. That is the work of salvation. Jesus paid it all. You know that lovely hymn? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sinners left a crimson stain, His blood washes white as snow. Yes, amen. That's the old covenant, that's the curtain. And there's a new and living way now. The veil is broken. This is the earthly sanctuary. And I wonder what the reaction of the priests would have been. They look startled there, don't they? Yes. That's what has happened. Now, here is a lovely comment by Bruce Compton. The church presently participates in the new covenant. Israel fulfills the new covenant in the future. I believe that's a very balanced and wise statement. The church participates in the new covenant and Israel fulfills the new covenant in the future. Or in my words, the church participates in the spiritual blessings of the new covenant by virtue of the work of the mediator of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings of the blood of the new covenant, which we have seen. So we have a contrast here. And if you go to page at the back here for the slides, you will find we have the covenants old and new, first and second, around Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 9. I'm reading what's on the screen now. The first covenant equals the old covenant. Moses is the mediator of the old covenant. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Old covenant dedicated with blood of animals. New covenant dedicated with the blood of Christ. Therefore, the new or the second covenant is not a part of the old or the first covenant. There they are in contrast. Basic principles. We'll come back in our last talk and talk about this in detail of participating. Let's go over the page now, and we just want to make a few comments regarding the major views on the relationship of the church to the new covenant. There are five positions regarding your relationship and my relationship to the new covenant in the church at large. This is now on page 8. And here they are. I'll read them to you. And I hope you don't get too confused, please. We'll come to this in just a moment. I don't want to confuse you, but just to make you aware. You will hear things, and it is good to be prepared, the old Boy Scouts motto. Number one, the church replaces national Israel and fulfills the new covenant in the present. Number two, there are two new covenants, one for Israel and one for the church. Three, the new covenant is exclusively for Israel and will be fulfilled by Israel in the future. Four, the church partially fulfills the new covenant now. Israel completely fulfills the new covenant in the future. Five, the church presently participates in the new covenant. Israel fulfills the new covenant in the future. You are now allowed to jump overboard if you wish, or go for the door if you wish. Okay. Now look, we're going to aim for five. We believe number five is the most honourable when all the info is in, as we say. But let's talk about this. Number one prevails today. Number one is the opinion of Roman Catholicism and Protestantism, all the denominations. Not number one here. Okay, we're coming to this. The number one in our notes. The church replaces national Israel and fulfills the new covenant in the present. Now this is known as covenant theology. Roman Catholic view, the view of all Protestant churches. It is the prevailing view. It is the amillennial or the amillennial view. It is the replacement theology view. It is the prevailing view in church history and is the current view. This is why you hear that the church has replaced Israel. That's why you don't hear anything about, or very little about, Israel in the future in your churches. There's no future for Israel in the churches. The return of Israel to the land at this time has nothing to do with God's plan or God's purposes. It is not eschatological. It has nothing to do with prophecy. It's just providential. In the mid-20th century, many countries gained their independence. The South African countries, one after the other, gained their independence from Britain and became nations on their own in the world and a representative in the United Nations. Same with Israel. This is what happened with Israel. Somebody was able to arrange that they could have their old land back again. Has nothing to do with prophecy, Antichrist, or rebuilding of a temple, or the Lord Jesus Christ coming back and reigning there. So what is the new covenant? Well, the new covenant just replaces national Israel, and it is fulfilled in the present time. That's why it's in Hebrews 8. It's for Christians now. Israel's finished. Just a minute. Jeremiah 31. Can you remember in Jeremiah 31 what God would say about the nation? He said the nation would disappear one day, didn't he? No. But what about all the bad things they have done? They've crucified the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory. Isn't that enough for God to reject them? No. Read Jeremiah 31 again. Let's have a look at it. Jeremiah 31. Am I getting a little excited here? Jeremiah said, the word of God burned in my bones. It got him into jail though, but that doesn't matter. Yeah. Jeremiah 31:37. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured. And of course this is following the context and in the context of the new covenant arrangement, Jeremiah 31. If heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will cast off all the seed of Israel. For all that they have done, says the Lord, will the heavens ever be measured? No, yes. Will the earth be searched out below? No, it can't get down there. Too hot. Can't go out there. Or we can go out there 15 billion light years in distance. But that's the edge of the observable universe. We can't go any further than that. We'll run out. We can't go further. It is further. Because of the laws of nature. There's more out there in the expansion. So it's beyond calculation. And God says, yes, they look. The Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Yeah. And God the Father wept over Jerusalem. Oh, if I could only gather you. If only I could gather you. But you will not. But he hasn't forsaken them because he said, the day is coming when this house will become desolate, but you will return to me and you will look to me return to me in the name of the Lord. The end of Matthew 23. No, he hasn't cast off Israel.